Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, June 18th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we will help you solve your computer and technology troubles, whatever they may be. Whether you're having issues with a firewall or connecting to the internet, we have a pair of experts in the studio to help you troubleshoot. Tony Yang is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network here at WAMC. Also in the studio is Mark Bogosian, owner and operator of Castle Max Service in Latham. If you have a computer or technology question, give us a call right now. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Computer calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here to answer your computer and technology questions today are Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. The company began as a hobby, quickly blossomed into a large PC retailer. Today, Tony manages networks for many companies, including this one. Mark is the owner and operator of Castle Max Service in Latham, New York. 35 years of experience, Mark offers a range of Macintosh service and tech support. If you have a question today, best to call early. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. You can also tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Mark Bogosian, Tony Yang, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Great to be back again.
Thanks, Ray. Good to be here.
We have high energy in the room today. We're ready, right?
Yeah.
We are good to go. Anything new we want to discuss before we jump on the phones?
Nothing real big in the Apple world. They're constantly upgrading their systems, making them faster, sleeker, lighter. I guess one quick note, there's a new operating system that's they're going to release soon. And to our Mac listeners, I'd say hold off at least 30 to 60 days before you do any major upgrades.
You know, that's kind of a standard piece of advice, Tony, you will often give for PC users as well.
Actually, you know, you mentioned about what's new lately. There was an NSA recommendation just a couple of weeks ago to have every Microsoft system get the latest updates because I guess they discover a really nasty worm that's about to get activated.
Really?
So those of you who are using Microsoft products, please update it to the latest everything that they have available.
Wow. Okay. That's very good advice. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's jump on the phones. We go to Clark in Wendell, Massachusetts. Clark, you're first.
Thank you very much. So there's high energy about the room. Do you have a thunderstorm in Albany?
No.
No, that's not my question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Short of Mercury being in retrograde, can a shielded cable provide continuity to expand cellular capability? Or is it restricted to line of sight, so to speak, by way of satellite?
Huh.
Because we can get cellular service at the end of a path that's 400 feet from the road. When I'm at the road near height, well, you know, 13,500 volt lines, they always have ground wires on the top. And I'm thinking the top ground wires are actually helping complement the cellular, but huh. I have no idea what.
That's very interesting.
This is just a theory, you know.
Yeah, I have no knowledge of that.
Of course, if you're in a road or near the road, you're near a clearing, too.
Right, correct. And that's why I thought of line of sight.
You know, here's something that always happens to me, not necessarily related to this question, which, by the way, might be the first time we've ever heard this on this program. If I drive over the thruway bridge going on, if I'm on heading into my hometown out of Albany, and I drive over the thruway, and I'm listening to New York City AM radio station, while I'm going over that bridge, the signal comes booming in. And I believe it's because there's a much clearer north-south path on the signal So,
well, you do understand that's amplitude modulation.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I didn't mean to insult your intelligence.
That's okay.
So, I mean, Clark, just generally speaking, wireless signals always travel better, obviously, with a clear line of sight. The water, trees, other things can interfere with the signal. So if you have a clear line of sight, you know, even these home Wi-Fi devices, they can go for miles if you got clear line of sight.
But that's still a great question, and I don't have the answer to that question about whether there's...
specifically about that.
Yeah, whether it acts as sort of an antenna or a waveguide there. Well, Clark, that's a great one. I don't think we can answer that for you, but thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Computers and Technology today on the show. Mark Bogosian and Tony Yang are here. Chris in Cornwall. Chris, you're next.
Hey, thanks, guys. I got to preface all of this by telling you that I'm a bit of a digital dolt, so I'm not that tech savvy. But it's a question about the lately demised iTunes. And I have an old laptop that's that runs Microsoft XP, and it was kind of a bug-ridden machine, and so I have upgraded to a new laptop. But I was wondering how I can transfer my iTunes library from the old machine to the new machine. And then if I do that, am I going to transport or import all of the problems and bugs that I had with the old machine into the new one, which I don't want to do?
First of all, stop the presses. There's no more iTunes? I missed this.
Well, they've unbundled the capabilities, video and audio capabilities. They have Apple TV, Apple Music, and so it's more of a marketing approach.
Now, the question that Chris asks, any idea, Mark?
So is your music library things that you have ripped or imported from CDs, or are they purchased songs?
It's both. A lot of it is my own music that I've loaded into the machine, but a lot of it are tunes that I bought from iTunes.
Okay, so the iTunes, the songs that you've purchased or media that you've purchased from iTunes will repopulate or can be re-downloaded when you sign in on the new computer into your Apple account. As far as the songs or media that you've imported, say from CDs, those are actual files that you would have to move, like you might a Word document or any other document, from one device to another. So that's really the you won't be bringing any garbage, as it were, because you're not going to migrate the entire user file or set of files, but rather just the songs from within that library, those song files. But anything you purchase will
repopulate. Okay, now, are you saying that if I, on my new machine, if I go to iTunes, I can get access to those songs that I've paid for?
Yes. Once you log in, there'll be a tab for purchases or under the account, and then in there you can re-download the songs or media that you've purchased.
Will he have to activate the new computer like the old days with iTunes?
You know, I don't know on Windows. I mean, on the Mac, you just sign in and boom, you're there.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, because
I thought
that Apple prevented people from doing this so that you couldn't share the same song amongst your friends.
You can authorize, I think it's up to 5 different devices.
So
my computer at home is authorized, my computer at my desk is authorized, my iPad is authorized, and my phone is authorized. So you can always deauthorize one and authorize another if you've run into the maximum number of systems.
All right. Good luck, Chris. Thanks for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We have Mark Bogosian here and Tony Yang to answer your computer and technology questions. Let's go to Paul in Ballston Lake. Paul.
Yes. How's it going?
Good.
I have a question about streaming the radio program.
Yeah.
And when I'm in my car, it'll change programs as I'm passing through different areas.
What? So you're streaming, you're not listening to the radio, you're streaming it.
Right. Through my phone.
Is it a podcast or a live stream?
live stream?
I have no answer to that one. I have no idea. I've never heard of that before. I would recommend.
I'm not going to the website to do it. I'm going doing it through a radio app.
Okay, which radio app is that?
TuneIn Radio.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's probably why. Then I know if you go to through a browser, either on a phone, an iPad, or a computer, it doesn't matter where really in the world that you are. If you have internet access, you'll get the same stream. So it's probably switching stations, just like when we drive down the thruway where you go from AMC to whatever's in Kingston or Scarsdale or wherever.
It is staying on AMC.
Huh.
It just changes the program.
Well, you know, I'm not the expert on that one, but our web mobile people may be able to help. So if you send an email to Vox Pop, we'll forward it to the right people. But I got to say, that's a new one on me, Paul.
Great.
All right. Okay. Yeah. We try to be helpful here. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here. Mark Bogosian is here. Oh, we have plenty of non-answers for you today, and we'll have more of them coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you. It's 800-348-2551. If you want to call in, 800-348-2551. Mark Bogosian is here. Tony Yang is here, and they're here to answer your questions. We're hitting about 250 so far, so we'll see what happens as the show goes on. This one is from Cliff, and Cliff writes, since I was duped into clicking an alien link using Chrome, I keep getting an annoying right-side pop-up. How can I find the source and eliminate it? That's from Cliff.
Yeah, that sounds like a typical spyware infection on your computer that went to your browser, Cliff. So you will want to do a full system scan with whatever antivirus, anti-spyware software you might have on your computer. If you don't, download Malwarebytes, which is what we always recommend on this show, and it's a great piece of software. You can get a free version or a pay version, which does a little more if you pay for it. But the free version does a great job in removing most of the spyware off your system. So I will start there.
Okay.
And hopefully that will take care of it for you.
All right, fair enough. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Pamela in Troy. Hello, Pamela.
Good afternoon, gurus. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Perfect timing today. My printer has been driving me nuts all morning. I went to make a photocopy of something, and although it will print from the computer, it will not make a photocopy. I've turned it off. I've pushed buttons, and it continues to refuse to comply. Any thoughts?
First of all, I love the way you describe it. That's exactly the way I tackle it. I turn it off, and then I just start pressing random buttons, and sometimes it works. All right, let's ask the experts.
Pam, two advices on that. One is perhaps unplug your printer and
did it.
And plug it into a different port on your computer.
Oh.
Not the same port, but
It's not plugged into the computer. It's wireless.
It's wireless. Okay. So that brings me to number two then.
Okay.
There's a backup. And the backup is sometimes, you know, it is a piece of software that runs in the background that facilitates all these operations. And they can get jammed up with bad data that's supposed to clear, but it isn't cleared. So what you want to do is just uninstall all of the printer software and download the latest version off the manufacturer's website. We installed it. Most of the time, that will work.
So a new driver.
Yes. But uninstall the old one first. I know that usually is the best first step.
Well, you can take it out back and just take a hammer to it, Pamela. That's the other option.
Hit any key to continue, yes.
but that'll probably work. I mean, another thing that sometimes happens with me, there will be, like, my kids will print a bunch of things and they'll fail. And there will be a bunch of of print jobs in the queue that just stay there forever. And if you can somehow clear out all those print jobs, sometimes that'll work for you.
Yeah, no, I don't have any pending print jobs because I had printed some things yesterday and everything that I printed.
Well, I'd say Tony's advice is a good start anyway.
I really don't have time for that this afternoon, but thanks for your help.
Thanks, Pamela. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800. Everybody's a little grumpy today. I like it. 800-348-2551 is our number. And Emily and Gardner. Emily, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am one generation shy of being computer literate. And it is very, very, very frustrating when those younger than myself, and not so much younger, can go into an Excel program and move cells and make them bigger and smaller and change headings and just make the graphics look so much nicer. What is it, when, how, and when, and if can I ever find an easy tutorial that'll show me the ins and outs of Excel that I can remember on more than one day?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Emily, I go on YouTube all the time looking for material that I'm trying to gain more knowledge in. It's a great resource. You know, you watch a video versus just reading a bunch of stuff, and they illustrate everything right on the video. So I find YouTube to be a great resource, and I'm sure there are a ton of videos on there on Excel.
I'm a nurse, and I always look up YouTube to make sure I'm doing things up to date. So I never even thought of it for Excel.
Yeah, they They got material on every single subject you can think of.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Well, Emily, good luck. Thank you for the call. The number's 800-348-2551. Let's go to Edward in Washington County. Edward.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Here's my problem, and I think it's a common problem because when I go on Apple's FAQs, I keep seeing this problem pop up, but I don't have an answer to it. I bought an older MacBook Air for school about 4 years ago, and it couldn't upgrade to the new operating system, Mojave, so I bought a new one this year, and I used the migrate function, and everything migrated over really, really great. But prior to this and now, I'm getting every once in a while when I do an operation, I'm getting a prompt that says this has to be approved on another Apple device. And I can't figure out. I thought that it would just pop up, you know, between the two MacBooks when I've got them both on. But it's not. And I can't figure out, is there a place where I can open the approve function on either MacBook to get this approval taken care of?
Well, what is it specifically that's asking you to approve, though? Is it your Apple ID account, or is it something with the network saying that there's...
No, the Apple ID account is a separate right. thing. Sometimes, like, if I make a change, you know, because they're sort of integrated over the network... you know, I can't tell you specifically. It was happening to me. Well, when I first migrated over the information on my old MacBook to my new MacBook, it was asking me, you know, this needs to be approved. And finally, it just got to the point where I just closed it because I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to approve it on the other MacBook.
Right,
see, prior to this, I didn't have an iPhone or anything, so I didn't have another Apple device to approve on.
So it's actually using the word approve, though.
Well, it might say authorize, because I heard you mention that earlier.
Right. Well, I know...
Yeah, authorize might be what it's asking for.
Okay. I know when I do a migration for a client from one machine to another, upgrading from older to newer, both computers will have the same name. So often I'll see a message that's basically network related that says there is another device with the same name on the network. We're going to temporarily rename, you know, Edward's MacBook Air to MacBook Air 2. But it doesn't actually ask you to authorize or approve anything. Additionally, when we sign in to a client's Apple ID whether for music or for calendar sharing or whatever the function may be, it will often send a message to that client's device saying, you know, your Apple ID is being used on another computer. Yeah. Do you approve or allow this? That's why I was kind of pinpointing what the actual word is.
I think right there is the actual case because I'm using the same Apple ID, you know, for going to the Apple Store and things like that. I'm using the same Apple ID. But I think what you just said is actually the case, but I just don't know how to get this approved on the other computer because I don't know whether there's a menu item to go and open it or what.
Well, typically it would be – it's more of a security check. So if you were logging in to a new computer with my Apple ID, my phone would come up with a message telling me that it's being used on another device, and I would click literally on the phone screen to say yes or no, approve or don't allow. So there's nothing in the computer itself. There's no menu item or utility function. It's typically at the time that it requests it would come up on one of your devices, either your phone, your iPad, or your other computer.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I expected to happen on the other Mac, but it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's usually related to, though, is security check to say, hey, is this a valid sign-in to your Apple ID account on a new device that it doesn't know about.
So how can he make it stop and approve it once?
Well, you should be able to just approve it once, but again, that would be prompted on your phone or iPad or authorized device.
So maybe go into your Apple account and take a look?
Yeah, maybe try signing out of the new one and then signing back in to force it to prompt you.
Okay.
That might be a way
I'll
to
try
do
that.
It.
All right. Thanks, Edward. You know, Linda in Corinth has been on the line and then off the line, and now she's back. So let's get her while we can. Linda in Corinth, you're on.
Thank you very much. I have a problem with my two things. I don't know if they're interrelated. I was kicked off of Pinterest. They said I'm on suspension, and I can't figure out why. I've tried calling the library for an 800 number so I can contact them and say why. I've sent them messages and to why, and I haven't gotten any response from them whatsoever. So I don't know how to get in contact with these people. I paint and I save tons of tutorials on colors and different things that I really thought would be useful and some different things I'd like to paint, and it's gone.
So you have no idea why you were suspended?
Pardon me?
You have no idea why you were suspended?
Absolutely none.
Very interesting. Well, what recourse does she have, Tony? Anything?
That's a tough situation you're in, Linda, because these sites like Pinterest, they have millions, and sometimes billions of users.
Yeah.
And when you have a technical issue that is not a widespread issue, it's very, very difficult to get done to get their attention. So keep trying. That's about the only advice I can give you. And unfortunately, they will get back to you at some point, but it may be a little while. Now, I would look into why I would look into to maybe just getting your computer scanned and changing some of your passwords out there.
You think someone hacked the account?
I'm thinking there's some type of activity online on their site that's got your account shut down. So you want to be cautious about
that. That makes sense because I had a Trojan about. I just thought I made the connection when you said that.
Yeah.
I had a Trojan about a month ago, and Apple walked through taking that Trojan off.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So I will go out there and change most of your passwords on other online services besides Pinterest, and hopefully they'll get back to you soon and get that straightened out for you.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Email. I have I've tried to get rid of this email. To empty it out and freshen up the email, and it says that I have 7,804 emails, and it's on the everything else part of the Safari Gmail site that I have, And I can't get rid of the seventh. See, first I can't get something, and now I can't get rid of something.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of the 7,860 or 4 emails no matter what I do. So I don't, I mean, so I'm wondering, could there be any connection? Could I have, like, somehow, I know this is really crazy, guys, but could I have somehow, like, transferred my Pinterest to the email?
Well, it's not crazy at all, but I, along the lines that Tony was pursuing, it may be related. Maybe there's some remote access or, you know, access to your account beyond you. So you're on the Google website, the Gmail website.
Yeah.
And you see those. Do you actually see the emails listed there, or it just says that there's 7,000?
No, 7, I just 000. See my newest emails, and that's 712 spams. 919 social. I can't. I don't know that many people that I email. Huh. And then I see updates 140. And then the only time I've ever noticed the 7,000 was yesterday, because I was trying to empty the garbage, and when I hit the icon for garbage can. That's when the 7,805 number came up.
Oh, mercy. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I would start with a virus scan of some sort.
Or two,
and then go from there. There might be some type of embedded file or malware or something that's either creating those or locking them or something like that.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And then when you find that virus, change everything you got, all those passwords.
Okay.
Well, good luck, Linda. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop today. Tony Yang is here, Mark Bogosian, and Joel in Clifton Park. Joel.
Yes, I have a Windows 10 system. a Windows 7 system. Periodically, I get a screen that says Mac update available. On each one. My question is, why do I get it? And number two, how do I get rid of it?
So, Joe, is that a pop-up on your screen, or do you get an email notifying you?
It's a pop-up.
Typically, if you're getting a pop-up that's non-related to your computer, it's probably just the spyware thing that's on your computer. So I will scan it thoroughly. Do a full system scan. A lot of people end up doing just a quick scan,
yeah,
which doesn't dig all that deep. So you want to do a full system scan, and if you don't already have something like Malwarebytes, download that and scan it with that. That should clear it up.
Now, some of the antivirus programs out there will not do a tremendous job of clearing cookies and some of the spyware, so you may want to, you know, do a virus scan and then do a spyware scan, because you'll find
That's
out
right.
You're picking up a lot more things.
Yep, and one more thing for you, Joe, and that is go into the to your browser and clear the cookies and clear the cache.
Yeah.
That will help sometimes as well.
Clearing the cookies and clearing the cache doesn't affect other things then, right?
It will affect other things if you save them. So, but you can go in there and pick specific cookies to remove.
It takes a long time,
It takes a while. So, unfortunately, those are the options.
I have done the full scan several times.
Yeah.
There is in my programs listing a Mac update line, which looks like it's a program or something. If I just click on that and say eliminate this program, is that a possibility that all this stuff will go away?
Yes, actually, I think you probably nailed it right there. I mean, that sounds like
you don't need it.
Single piece of software that you don't need that's causing the pop up.
Yeah,
absolutely, do that. And like I said, get Malwarebytes. Sometimes they do a better job at removing spyware.
All right, Joel, thanks for the call. Good luck with that one. And then every now and again, I will do a boot scan. In other words, do the full scan, and then every month or two, set that antivirus program to do the boot scan. I caught one once.
Which is a great way to go at it, because that way your Windows is it's at its dormant state,
yeah,
where nothing is loaded up yet, and you can do a great scan and get the system really cleaned
it
out.
It does take a while if you have a lot of stuff it on does. Your computer, but well worth it for the occasional scan. Let's go over to Brian in North Adams. Brian.
Hi. So my question is in regards to like automation adoption. I travel a lot for work, and I was just curious what your take on it is and how it'll affect small communities versus larger big city areas.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. What is automation?
Like automation adoption would be like when you go to McDonald's and the McDonald's like self-order screen kiosk.
Oh yeah.
You can go to certain places like Amazon Go Shop, and there is no cashier at all, or anybody really, just walk in and grab and go. So I'm just curious how you think that's going to affect.
Well, it's a sociological question to some extent, but what do you think, fellas?
Yeah, I think within the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a massive, massive amount of adoption for those services. I mean, you look at Sam's Club or BJ's.
Yeah,
they have more automated self checkout lines than staff ones. That's just the way the society is moving, and I think it's just going to be more and more prominent.
Until the electromagnetic pulse comes. And then everything's going to be fine. Yep. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Hey, it's computers today. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here. Mark Bogosian is here. We talk computers today on the program, and two emails and then back to the phones. This one came in from Paul. Subject heading, switching Quicken from Windows to MacBook. I have had Quicken Premiere 2013 on my Windows tablet for many years. I have Quicken data going back to about 1994. I finally bought a MacBook, and I'm worried about how to avoid losing all this valuable data. The online instructions seem a bit daunting, and I wonder how it usually goes when folks try migrating data from Microsoft to MacBook. And that is from Paul.
Well, I don't think it's so much going from PC or Windows to Mac, but rather the Quicken file itself. The Quicken uses its own proprietary file format. And I don't know, honestly, about converting that from a Windows to a Mac platform. You might have to actually export the data from the PC version, the Windows version, and then import it into the Mac. I would highly recommend that you contact Quicken. They've been very helpful with phone support, walking clients through these very specific type of conversion. So I think it's going to be a matter of exporting the data and then importing it rather than converting or moving that actual file over.
And he could save it, right, on a separate disk or whatever and just have that data sitting there just in case?
Right. Oh, absolutely, yes, yeah, yeah. We've been trying to move people towards the online versions just to avoid this type of thing. Now Quicken has all their software online, so you can log in really from any platform, Mac or PC.
I don't like that. They have the tax software like that, too. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. There's enough of my information out there.
Fair enough.
All right, let's go to another email. This one's from Christine. And, okay, subject heading, Malwarebytes versus Norton Security. Christine writes, this may be too simple a question for you, but I'm stumped. I usually use Norton Security for virus protection, but I decided to try Malwarebytes as a supplement in addition to the Norton. But for some reason, the Malwarebytes never seems to work consistently. Is the Norton Security turning it off, or is there something I need to do to make sure both programs will run simultaneously? Signed, flummoxed in computer land.
Okay. I will not recommend that you run Malwarebytes, the full version, which has a antivirus function in and out.
In other words,
well,
you're talking about the real-time monitoring, right?
That's right, yeah.
You don't want two at the same time.
You don't want to run that at the same time. So I will shut one off. I would probably recommend that you use Norton as your primary and use Malwarebytes as a secondary malware scanning software.
So in other words, to turn off the assuming that Christine paid for Malwarebytes, which has the real-time monitoring, turn the real-time monitoring off and just use it to scan when you want to.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, flummoxed. We appreciate the email. Back to the phones. And Kirk in Albany. Kirk.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a computer that was put together by a local vendor. Mm-hmm. And power failure, and so they put everything back together. The problem is, when it's at the store, the computer works well. So as soon as I bring it home,
yeah,
it doesn't work. It boots up, but then it shuts back down.
Rats. All right, what do you think about that one, fellas?
Kirk, you and every one of my customers, well, almost every one of my customers have the same problem. They bring it in, the computer, you know, what it is the computer gets scared. They know that they got experts looking at it,
so
they stop behaving.
Performs, yeah. That's no, right. But really, what's the deal with that?
You know, if you are having that issue consistently, I would, Kurt, I would invest maybe $100 on a UPS.
And that's an uninterruptible power?
That's right. It's just a battery backup. I wonder if you're getting inconsistent power and it's causing some of these issues okay, on your computer. You know, inexpensive UPS that you can pick up from Best Buy or actually Sam's Club have them too would give you that consistent power. So you can at least eliminate that out of the equation. Because if you're just changing physical locations and at one place it works well and the other place it doesn't, that's about the only thing that's left.
I would try a third location. Go to a friend's house and plug it in and see if it works there. Maybe there's just a voltage or something issue at the house.
Yeah.
Well, and if I may add, I had a client last week with a similar problem, and it turned out where her keyboard was actually shorting out the system intermittently. So it would work fine in my shop, but never
with your keyboard.
With my keyboard. So. Try maybe turning it on with no peripherals connected other than the display.
So unplug all the USBs.
Right, right. Anything that's connected via USB or otherwise. And at least on the Mac platform, USB can wreak havoc with problems. So,
that's a really good point, Mark.
So it could be something small like that, like a set of speakers, a USB keyboard, a mouse, a backup drive, any number of devices that are connected externally.
All right, I'll try that. Thank you.
Hey, good luck, Kirk. Good luck. Thanks for the call. And let's see who's been waiting longest here. Looks like Caitlin in Hillsdale is next. No, I'm sorry. Catherine, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions. One of them is I have a HP with a Windows 10, and I've had it for a few years. And in the last 6 months, I have a pop-up popping up indiscriminately, a black box with the white cursor, like the old computer style. I'm kind of thinking as I'm listening to your callers, it may be some type of a virus or something. I don't have any virus protection or spyware protection. I was told that Windows 10 automatically had something to that. What do you recommend?
Yeah, Windows 10 does have a version built into it, and it's pretty good. But, you know, there is a reason why people are still paying for services like Norton, Avast, and all these places, AVG, you name it. There's so many of them out there because their software do a more intense scanning of the system, and it's obviously, you know, it's also rated to be more effective as well. So I would very much highly recommend that you get something, Norton, Avast, AVG, a ton of software out there, but get one of those. We typically will recommend Norton to most people because it's generally the most compatible and the most trouble-free software for virus protection.
Is it Norton?
Norton. Yes, Norton 360.
Catherine, can I ask you a quick question? Does that box just disappear? Is it only there for a brief time when you start the computer?
Yes.
And does it have numbers? I mean, it sounds to me like it's a small DOS kind of prompt window that fires up. And it's okay. It's with a. It has to do with a program, maybe even your antivirus, and it's you see it real quick, and then it's gone.
Yep.
I've seen that before too, and I'm not convinced that it's a virus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to get rid of it. I don't really, you know, like it's just like annoying when I'm trying to look at my email. It just pops up.
Oh, really? It pops up. It doesn't just happen at the very beginning when you boot up.
No.
No, then I don't know. I say go with Tony's answer on that.
Yeah, just do a virus scan.
That doesn't sound too good.
Yeah, knowing 360 will be the way to go.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's computers today, and what fun we have. Terrence and Rhinebeck. Terrence, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, folks. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you for the headphones on the back of my iMac to stop putting out sound. Would you suspect something in settings, or did I fry a sound card? What would be your go-to suspicion?
Well, yeah, first you want to check the settings. If you go into the system preferences, there's an icon or a setting for sound, and then there's a setting for actual output. So you want to check that first. I would say try another set of headphones. Test those headphones and some other device. If you check all those things and those headphones work elsewhere and known working headphones don't work in there, then yes, it could be the port. It's not actually a card, a replaceable card, but rather a circuit board that is built into the back that has the audio ports, the USB ports, FireWire ports, things like that. So it's all one component. And it's actually built into the main board, so it's not easily or practically replaceable.
So, if you fried that, you can't get at it, you mean?
Correct. Not,
can you,
not on a
can
practical
you short
level.
That, can you short that chip on that board out by pulling the little Sony plug out while there's music playing? Or
no.
While it's outputting?
No.
That's not, that isn't what I did wrong. That's what I suspected.
No,
that's
no,
not
that,
it.
That definitely
then
won't harm
it.
It
has to do with aggregate I.O. You see, I run out of that into aux in on my 003 in Pro Tools.
Yep.
The DigiDesigner 03. It goes in there and then it comes out my speakers, but it stopped putting out sound.
Yeah, that's not, but that didn't cause it. First go into your system preferences and check that audio, the sound panels, and make sure that, you know, when you plug in external speakers or headphones, on that screen, it'll show external device. When you unplug, it'll disappear. So you should see it appear and disappear. Check volume there, and then...
Okay, and if it's not reading it, then there is something.
Then there's a hardware failure of some sort, and it's not practical to repair.
That's a great clue. Thank you. And the last question, do you think they'll ever create a way to globally get rid of all the emails in your iPad? Everyone has to delete them, you know,
goodness.
Blocks at a time. But
yeah. That's
there really should be a get rid of all of these.
Absolutely. you're one of millions of us that feel the same way.
So why
way.
Can't they do it then? If there are millions of you, why can't they do that? Do a batch delete?
Yeah, you just cannot select. You have to select one at a time.
Well, who's in charge over there?
It's terrible.
I'll find out.
All right.
Right after the show.
Have a great time, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for the call. And now we go to Patrick in LaGrangeville. Patrick, you're on.
Norton. Hey, come over here. Solve my problem. Anyway.
All right, go ahead.
My father passed away, and he left us with a Toshiba satellite computer, and we can't even get in as a guest to use it. And I had some friends that were relatively computer savvy, give it a whirl, trying to recreate a password. So how do we get this computer so it's usable again, whether or not we find dead secret diaries?
Oh, boy.
Patrick, sorry for your loss. Is it a Mac
or... No, it's okay. Yeah, we're good with that.
Okay. Is it a Mac or a PC?
It's a laptop.
It's a Toshiba.
It's a Windows.
Yeah, Patrick, so you could have two issues here. One is that what's called a BIOS password. So it's a password that you have to type way in the beginning as soon as you turn on the computer. That type of issue you have to get into the motherboard and reset the CMOS.
Wipe everything.
That's right. That will wipe all the passwords and everything off the BIOS, which is before you get to the Windows system. So if you're having trouble logging into Windows, there are ways to crack the password.
Here we go.
But I would suggest that you bring it to a local place and have them do it for you. Typically, if you bring it to let's say my office, we do that in 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, Tony, I knew it.
That's something that the general layman doesn't know how to do.
It's a complicated process if you have never done it before.
A lot of pitfalls.
You know, it's like me fixing cars.
Yeah.
How much does something like that cost?
Well, we don't really do prices on this show, but you know, you could certainly call your local expert on that. I didn't even know they could do that. But Patrick, good luck. Let's quickly jump over to Annette's been waiting a while. Annette and Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thank you so much. You're the greatest.
Thank you. My question
is about we have Macs, desktop and laptop. And a lot of our saved files, when we go to open them, they're grayed out and we cannot access them. Is there a way that can be fixed? No matter where we save it, if it's on the desktop or in documents, downloads, they just vanish. They're there, but we can't open them.
Is everything grayed out or just certain files?
Most of them. There are a few sporadic files that we can open, but most of it is grayed out.
And they are the things that are grayed out are definitely your actual documents. So you might have, you know, letter to Joe there, and it's grayed out.
Exactly. It's all my own stuff and stuff that I've tried to open because I need it. And I can't open it.
Right. Well, there's a process where you can expose or show hidden system files, but that would relate to behind the scenes things, not your own user files. And did this happen all at once one day, or was it, did you notice it just over time, this file, that file, and then several things later?
I'm going to say over time. I don't think it was all at once, but you know, I always managed to find it somewhere else. Like I emailed it to myself, and then since I knew I had a problem, then I could open it, which is how I've gotten through this. But I'm sure that's
and you haven't way. You haven't created a new user profile or anything like that, and move files from one to another.
No.
Okay.
Are they saved in the cloud? Maybe she's not online.
Well, usually if there are things on the cloud, you'll see literally a little cloud next to the file.
Right.
And it wouldn't be grayed out necessarily. Huh. I think I'd have to see it to...
What if they were saved to the cloud and there was no internet access? Would you see something like that?
Well, No, that's a good point. If it was done through, you know, Dropbox or the Apple Cloud, the cloud drive, it'll always leave a full working version of it on the desktop or in the document folder.
Well, listen, we're done. I'm so sorry, guys.
Could we ask them to mail me a sample of it?
What's your email address, Mark?
mark@castlecomp.com. If you can just even take a picture and mail me a picture of the desktop or one of those files.
All right. Support comes from Vermont Coffee Company. Organic coffee in the brown paper bag, available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Paul Smith's College, where winter sports athletes compete on the same landscape that's a training ground for Olympic athletes. Paul Smith's College, it's about the experience. paulsmiths.edu. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons. grapesandgrainswine.com. And Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Thanks again to Tony Yang of Gig Computers and Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service for joining us today. Thank you. Great calls. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, Susie Chekai, our call screener, and Jim Lavoulis, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Darren Tracy is here. We'll talk home improvement. Right now, stand by for the book show.